welcome back to another episode of Young Americans. We are the Young Americans, a group of UGA Cortona students stationed in Cortona, Italy. And today we're going to bring you a few tracks, some music, some conversation. So what are we starting off with here?
Well, I don't know. You want to introduce us?
Yeah,
oh, sure. I'll introduce you guys. Yeah. All right. So right in front of me, we've got Ava.
Hi.
Say hi, Ava. Yeah. There's Isaac.
Hiya.
And then Ellen.
Hello, everybody.
And I am John. Okay. Perfect. And so whose song is this starting off here?
This is mine. This is Where Do You Go To, My Lovely. It's a song that I discovered a couple summers ago when I was in Italy with my family. And it's just a fun little indie ditty. It's great.
We kind of bonded over this song little bit. We talked about it on the train, I think.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a train song.
It is a really good train song. It's definitely a song that makes me think of Europe in general. Because it's like, it's an American singer, but he's singing about a lot of these, like, symbols of European status.
Yeah, it's for Francophiles, but, yeah. It more just relates to, like, us together talking about a song and, like, becoming friends over this music.
Absolutely.
It doesn't really have anything to do with Italy, per se.
And by the way, the overall, like, theme of the songs that we picked today is, like, music that's going to remind us of Cortona in the future, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because our trip's coming to a close here. We're about to head back to Georgia. It's kind of mixed emotion, so we just picked a few tracks that's going to remind us, you know, bring back those memories. So let's start it off with this next track.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like ZZ Jobber. And your clothes, well, they're all made by Balmain. And there's diamonds and pearls in your hair. Oh, yes, there are. And you live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sacha Distel. Oh, yes, you do. And you go to the embassy parties, where you talk in Russian and Greek. Oh, and the young men who move in your circle, oh, they hang on every word you speak. Oh, yes, they do. But tell me, where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head, yes, I do. Well, I've seen all your qualifications you got from the Sorbonne, and the painting that you stole from Picasso. Your loveliness goes on and on, oh, yes, it does. And when you go on that summer vacation, you go to Juan-les-Bains, with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs. And when the snow falls, you're found in Samoritz with the others of the jet set. Oh, and you sip your Napoleon brandy, and you never get your lips wet. I know you don't. But tell me, where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head, yes, I do. Oh, well, you're in between 20 and 30, and that's a very desirable age. Oh, but your body, well, it's firm and inviting, yet you live on a glittering stage, oh yes you do. And your name, it is heard in high places, oh, you know the Aga Khan. Oh, he sent you a racehorse for Christmas, and you keep it just for fun, for a laugh, ha ha ha.
And they say that when you get married, it'll be to a millionaire. Oh, but they don't realize where you came from. And I wonder if they really care or give a damn. Oh, where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head, yes I do. I remember the back streets of Naples and two children begging in the rags. They're both touched with a burning ambition to shake off the lowly bone tags as they try. So you look into my face, Marie Claire, and remember just who you are. Oh, then you go and forget me forever, but I know you still bear the scar, it's deep inside. Oh, I know where you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed. Yes, and I know the thoughts that surround you, because I can look inside your head.
Okay. All right, that last song was Where Do You Go To, My Lovely. It's a song that me and Ava bonded over early in this trip.
Yes.
And it's a song that I think we both will forever associate with Cortona and with being here in Italy.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think tonight, since we're choosing songs that remind us of Cortona, or will remind us of Cortona when we leave here in a couple days, we wanted to kind of reminisce on some of our favorite memories, our favorite things that we've done while we've been here. Because I know, at least speaking for myself, it's been like an unbelievably wonderful experience.
Yeah
it's been so much fun.
So many memories. My phone ran out of storage today because of all of the pictures I've taken.
Yeah. I mean, my teacher, Ms. Morrison, always says it's like drinking from a fire hose. I really like that analogy, but it kind of is. I mean, we're just being immersed into a culture that has so much, and it's so hard to like kind of wrap your brain around it while you're here. So I think a lot of my reminiscing is going to take place, you know, afterwards when I'm listening to these songs and like thinking about the things we've done.
So, yeah, looking back through my pictures I've taken on my phone is going to be so much fun in about a month or so, and just seeing all of the wonderful things that I did. Definitely want to hold on to these memories. But what were some of y'all's favorite moments?
Ooh, good question.
My favorite moments definitely center around food. I've got a lot of great food moments. I discovered peachy pasta while I was here, which is a very like thick spaghetti noodle. And I love a long pasta, and this just gives me so much of it. And I'm going to miss that a lot, because there's nowhere to get anything like that in America.
I love that we never lose that like tone going up as we say any word in Italian while we're here, like peachy.
It's like really like
I think it's
mark.
Pronounced peachy. It's a four-letter word. It's a type of pasta.
You just don't know. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, the food's been incredible. I remember before I came here, I thought it was just like maybe a stereotype that, you know, Italians eat a lot of pasta. And I figured there was a lot of pasta here, but I didn't realize that it's like almost every single meal we've had here, pasta has most certainly been involved.
I mean,
which I was not expecting, but I'm certainly not complaining. Like, it's incredible. It's
so good. That's partially because we keep ordering off of the like first course menu instead of like flipping to the second. We're always like, ooh, pasta, I'll take that.
I'm almost positive real Italians don't eat pasta for every meal, but
like we do, yeah.
Yeah.
We just decided to go crazy.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. I'm feeling the pasta. It's been a good ride, but I think it's coming to an end. I can't maintain this lifestyle any longer.
Does anyone have like a favorite meal that sticks out in your mind?
Oh my god, I had the best. What was it? Okay, it was like a veal fillet.
Oh, that steak
with and I think it was like marinated in what was the?
I don't know. Butter, probably.
No.
Truffle.
Yeah, truffle oil. And it was like, I don't know. Like, each bite was like, you know, biting into a stick of butter. It just melted in my mouth.
Ava was completely spiraling during that entire meal. Yeah. She wanted it.
Every, like, the entire meal, I was eating some pasta, and John is just like, with every bite going, oh my God.
I mean, yeah.
I'll never eat again. This is incredible. Mm. This is the best food I've ever eaten with every single bite. And I'm just sitting there next to him sobbing. Yeah. And he finally took pity on me and gave me like a very small scrap. Yeah. And he was right.
Yeah, it was overwhelming to witness the way he was eating that food.
You'd think like after the first bite of like a piece, it would stop exploding in your mouth with like a flavor bomb. But no, each bite released some new hidden like potential of liquid. Anyways, let's head on to the next song here. Yeah.
I think I chose this one. It's The Fear by a band, The Shins. And I actually heard this song for the first time on this trip on a train ride. My friend Adrian, who's on this trip with us, who couldn't be here tonight, she showed me it on the train ride, so I'll always remember it. We were going to Levanto, going to the beach on a fun like little travel weekend, and I'll always associate this song with that trip for sure.
Awesome. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
was The Shins with their song The Fear, which has always been a favorite band of mine. And recently, our art history teacher was joking about how back in the day, boys would always ask her, what do you think's better? Like, what's more important, the music or the lyrics? And with The Shins specifically, I think the lyrics are always my favorite part. Great music, too, but... Also, that's not a fun question to be asked.
Yeah, that's one of those binary things that just makes me squirm a bit, you know?
It's so... That being said, what's your answer?
No. Oh, don't put me in that position. I refuse.
Fair. I can give my answer.
Yeah.
Because I don't think one is objectively any more important, honestly. I think it definitely depends person to person. But since I listen to a lot of music that's not in English, like Spanish, French, Korean, Arabic.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, ooh. I just like listening to, like... the sounds that language makes.
Yeah.
Like when we were in the square listening to like the jazz that was playing recently in Italian, like I just really like listening to like the sounds of the language.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, yeah. I like that.
It's a good preference.
I think that like vocals by themselves, like even if you're not understanding the lyrics, are probably the most important part to me. Like what the singer's voice sounds like and the affectations that they use and the melody of their voice.
So how do you feel about Bruce Springsteen when he comes up?
Bruce Springsteen will always have a special place in my heart.
Okay. All right.
From childhood.
What a nice cop out. I'm sure his vocals are pure.
Oh, I love it. Hey, I love people with vocals that sound quite horrible. I think I'm certainly not including Bruce Springsteen in this category, but I will say I'm kind of infamous with my friends. Like I'll show them these bands and they'll be like, it sounds like his voice sounds terrible, like Paul Baribeau, or even like early Mountain Goats and stuff, where the voice is just kind of croning, and I love it.
Well,
but everyone's
examples.
Like, what is this?
I mean, yeah, there's something to say. Maybe that's like a third category, the vocal, like the is it
inflection?
Timbre or something? I don't know.
Yeah, timbre, but, yeah. That's a good word. Yeah. Wow.
Wow, so...
You just really turned that on there. Yeah. Turn that on its
Sorry.
Head.
Sorry.
There you
Give,
go.
Yeah, more content for those teenage boys.
So, Ellen, I heard you had a specific reason for choosing this next one.
Okay, so our next song is Simon and Garfunkel's Mrs. Robinson, and the reason that I'm... like associated with this trip is because it was stuck in my head for about 2.5 weeks and I was singing it for about 2.5 weeks in all my classes, and Ava's my roommate and she had to listen to me for 2.5 weeks of me just singing that
song.
And
I'm okay with it because it's such a good song.
So here we go.
Love you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless.
awesome. As you all probably know, that was Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel, chosen by the wonderful Ellen.
While that was playing, we were talking about sort of like the bookends of this trip and like how it sort of started and ended the same way, actually. So
So one of my favorite parts of this trip was just getting thrown into the mix with so many strangers. I hadn't met anyone on this trip before I came here, so it was like we just showed up, arrived in Cortona, and had nothing to do but become friends with one another, pretty much, in like the most beautiful place in the world. So it was really, really exciting. And on one of the very first nights we were here, me and like a small group, John was there, and a couple other people. We had just started to get to know each other, and we just sat in the kitchen and we were talking about like books and Cortona and like what we loved about the city so far. And then it got late, and it got later, and it got later, and then it was like 3 a.m. and we were like, hey, do you want to stay up and watch the sunrise? Because this is the second night any of us have known each other, and we're already staying up all night to watch the sunrise together, and it was very beautiful.
That's pretty beautiful. I was asleep.
So we walked up to, like, there are terraces behind the school, so we walked up to the top of the terraces, and we were waiting. We were so ready. We were excited for the sunrise. John led us all in some impromptu yoga.
Yeah, improvisational, I'll have you know. Like, I don't know how to lead yoga, but we worked it out, and it was pretty relaxing, yeah.
And so we were just watching the horizon, waiting on the sun to rise. And then slowly, it just got light. And we realized, oh, the sun rises on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah, we had
facing the west, right?
Yeah.
It happened so slowly, like it was daytime. And
we were like, wait a minute, where's the sun?
So, I guess it's behind us.
And then this morning, we tried to do the same thing, this time a little more put together. So we headed for a specific spot. And it just didn't work again. Like, we wrapped around the mountain.
We simply missed the sun.
Simply missed it.
Yeah. Ellen wakes up at, like, she has Ellen and our other roommate, Mary. Their alarm was set for 5:20 a.m. They wake up. I was, once again, not about to go watch the sunrise. So they're, like, getting all dressed. And I was like, well, I guess I'm awake now. And I go look out the window, and it's just fully light outside.
But it hadn't happened yet.
Oh.
Yeah, we went up. We sprinted up the hill because we realized we had miscalculated the time, and we did not make it still.
Like, really?
We got up to the fort, and we're on the wrong side of it, which was awesome. Love that. Couldn't figure out a way around. There was a policeman very nearby, so we got scared about trampling about. We didn't want to mess up.
Yeah.
So we just came back down. John showed up, and we went for a hike because it was daytime.
Lovely.
I mean, it's great how just nothing works out, and it leads to these, like, almost better memories of failure.
One really interesting thing about being here for about being here for so long is I don't think I've ever like stayed anywhere that wasn't my home for 2 months. So it's been really fascinating to see like the time that the sunset, like how that changes, like how the season of summer is changing somewhere else where I've never been is super interesting. Like I've just never had that experience before.
Absolutely.
All right. Wow. Yeah, let's go on to the next song.
Yeah,
here.
This next track is one that I chose. It's called All You Gotta Be When You're 23 Is Yourself. It's by Free Cake for Every Creature.
Walk 3 miles.
That was All You Gotta Be When You're 23 Is Yourself by Free Cake for Every Creature. And I've got to tell you, I would love some free cake right about now.
Wow, yeah, anytime, honestly.
Yeah.
Ava, I think you're secretly wishing that the focus of this episode was food.
Not, it's not that subtle, I don't
think. We've broached it many times.
Yeah, we have. I think we've talked a lot about food. It's important.
We have. It is important.
Don't at me. Don't attack me for what I love.
So one of my favorite parts in that song, it talks about moving to a new city. Mm-hmm. And so it's got me thinking about the different cities that we visited. Yes. I think we visited we've each visited maybe a slightly different number of cities, but it's somewhere around like five or six somewhere in there. Yeah. So do y'all have a favorite?
Yeah, so we went on these like group excursions as we're in Italy here. And mm-hmm. I think probably my favorite so far was Rome. It was the most exhausting and probably drained a lot of people's batteries, but it was also the most immersive because we got to stay there for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
Three. Yeah, yeah.
Time.
Yeah. I think Rome was my favorite too, even though it just took us all out of commission.
It really sucked us.
It just destroyed us mentally and physically.
It was like 100 degrees one day, 99 the next. It was a disaster.
We walked about like 10 miles at least one day, I think.
I'd love to just replay the conversations we were having in our heat delirium. I'm sure none of them made any sense.
But honestly, it's hard to beat Rome. Rome was just such a beautiful, big city. And it was big in a way that's very different from the way that American cities are big. It wasn't like all built straight up. It was like, you know, it's spread out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is so nice.
Yeah. Rome said vertical architecture. No, we're going straight out. And it's beautiful because of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Like
it
you
really
can actually
is.
See the city in
what's,
the city.
What's the term for that? Just traces of the past in every single element.
Oh, we learned about that from our history teacher.
Boy, have I forgotten. I think it starts with a P.
It does.
Does it?
I'll come back.
Like, didn't you write it down in your...
Palimpsest. Oh, yeah.
He knows. Okay.
That was exciting. Wow.
Yeah.
Go John.
Traces.
Yeah, a palimpsest is basically like... I'm going to butcher this. But basically, like... 12th century, 13th century monks used to write things on vellum, which was like deer skin.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to reuse it for like manuscripts and stuff. So they would scrape off what they've written before and write something else on top of it. But you could still kind of see the vestiges of the text below. And that's a palimpsest, just like layering up of history and ideas.
And that's our history lesson for today, folks.
I hope Jen is listening.
Yeah.
Gives us extra credit points on our quiz tomorrow for our history knowledge.
Oh, God, we're so stressed, but let's move on to the next song.
Okay. Our next song coming up is Fleetwood Mac's Rhiannon. So here we go.
Why you lie?
Right, that was Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac, a classic, which I would absolutely adore if my nude modeling professor hadn't played it on repeat back at the University of Georgia. I mean, it's a phenomenal band, but one Pandora station dedicated to them for every single class. It's a little too much.
Yeah, yeah. And you just have to stand there.
Just have to stand there.
Just got to stand there.
A little cold.
A little cold, yeah. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, yeah, it's weird, I know, but I was a nude model for the University of Georgia.
For academic purposes,
for academic purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And just to experience, you know.
Figure drawing.
My thing is, I want to try everything, just experience everything.
Yes.
But.
And they make good money.
Yeah, he also got paid for this.
Yeah, oh no, if it was volunteer, you could count me out, but. All right, that was kind of a weird segue, but I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah. I also heard the song in class here in my printmaking. No, that's not a class I'm in. In my
just lie to the people?
Yes, absolutely. No, in my bookmaking and papermaking. Book arts? Papermaking? I
book
took it for a whole
making.
Semester and yeah. I don't know the name.
It's one, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a fun class. We got to make paper up on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Good time.
Yeah, so probably papermaking, right?
Yeah.
Papermaking and book arts. It's a long title.
You would think that that's not a skill that we would teach anymore in our
nation's
illustrious universities.
Oh my God.
But it's actually really fun from what I hear.
No, it was
really
great.
Really rewarding.
It was really, really cool because I've seen a lot of like artist books in like exhibitions and galleries and stuff. And I've always just sort of thought of it as like, oh, they just put that together and illustrated it. But no, the actual construction of the book and the making of the paper, it's like a really interesting and fairly difficult process. Ava knows that I was just losing my mind doing some of this stuff.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's like a thriving art, too. I didn't think much about it either. Maybe you can tell me more, but it seems to me like it's like kind of having a rebirth or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think as a response to like everything going digital, people are sort
people
of wanting to like pull back and have something to hold. And
yeah, have something
create.
Tangible, for sure.
Yeah, the tactile. I'm a big fan of like objects that just do one thing, which is so hard to find anymore.
I was incredibly jealous of all of the like tactile artistic studios that people were doing because all of my work was digital this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a digital artist and it can get you like psychologically.
Oh, it does. That's a yes. It certainly gets you psychologically. After a couple days on the computer, you're just like, I just want to draw with a pencil, please.
Like, nothing is real.
Nothing is real.
There is no truth in the world.
Oh, God.
And in case you can't tell, John is absolutely one of those guys who has an extensive record collection.
But I don't show it off because people will think things. There's all sorts of things associated with it. And I just want to steer clear of that.
I want to start a trend this year where we all have record collections and we all keep them secret. Because I fully support a record collection.
Yeah.
But
let's not display it. Let's not talk about it.
If you can't keep your record collection secret, you shouldn't have one.
I agree. Interesting. That's a fun take, and I like
think,
it.
I don't know if I agree with myself, actually, but
be proud
it is
of
you
fun.
Should,
like,
you should keep it secret
interests.
For a while, and then like the more
sprinkle
you get to
in.
Like as long
once
you get to know people really well,
it
should never be day
defining
one.
Defining character.
Yeah, like. Defining characteristic is never a record collection.
Do love a record though.
And still great though. Still love records. I also have lots.
Yeah, they're fun. Tactile.
And speaking of records too, when we went to Florence, we found this really, really cool record shop.
Great.
And we actually saw the vinyl of
John Cale's Paris 1919, his album from the 70s. And I really wanted to buy it, but I couldn't take it home on the plane. Anyway, I picked this song because I started listening to it in Italy a few years ago, and I continue to listen to it a lot this summer. So here's John Cale with Paris 1919.
Wanting to be seen, she'd open up the doors and maybe carry us away. It's the customary thing to say or do to a disappointed proud man in his grief. And on Fridays she'd be there, but on Mondays not at all. Just casually appearing from the clock across the hall. Here it goes, la 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 la.
So that was John Cale with Paris 1919. And so, speaking of book arts and papermaking and etc., in that class we recently had an assignment where we were supposed to pick a song and then basically interpret it, reinterpret it into a book. And so, a drum leaf binding, if anyone knows anything about bookmaking, anyway. So, I chose Florence and the Machine's Queen of Peace, and it is coming up next.
Yeah. Yeah. And her art for that book was incredible.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
That's all I have.
Okay. Ellen, she's so Ellen good. Is like unbelievably talented. Let's be okay. honest right now.
Yeah.
In a humble way that doesn't make you mad, though, you know? Like, it's just like, wow. Just so you can really appreciate it.
No, everyone, y'all, real talented. Just for the record.
Okay, if you ever want to take a really good photograph, take it of Ellen.
Okay.
Yeah.
My piece and our little exhibition we had, what we call it, our Mostra, the other night, had featured Ellen sitting on the wall, shaking her hair gloriously.
Oh, yeah. That was long, great. It was like slightly longer exposure. You could see like the motion
what
trails
did y'all
of
call it,
it?
What was the name of it?
Ellen as a cosmic being.
Love that for me.
And on that note. Let's play this next track by Florence and the Machine, Queen of Peace.
Is all the sun
That was Florence and the Machine, Queen of Peace. Great song. All right, so for those just tuning in, we are the Young Americans, a group of Americans in Cortona, Italy, and we're broadcasting our songs that kind of remind us of our trip as it's coming to a close, mm-hmm. and things that, you know, make us reminisce and think back on all the memories we've created, things like that.
Yep.
This next song is actually mine by Michael Now. It's called In There. It's a song that I found in Cortona as I was, like, gazing out at the beautiful landscapes, you know, and thinking about my place here and in America and, like, you know, the dynamics of Italian culture. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. This is Michael Now, In There.
Spending the day in a submarine, listening, watching the waters go passing by me, but I do not mind. Everything moving, who's dragging behind? I am just looking for something to find sometime. Waters before me, waters behind, many miles of love and name. When I was not waiting on anything, anything came, sat quietly on a moving moment under the rain. Everything changing, but I'm still the same, trying it over and over again, my friend. No pride to swallow, but a heart not hollow, seen many miles of love in there. To the land lit well within, true your life's always been. Oh, good ships are made of skin. There's a passenger inside you. All your good and your bad, all your happies and sad, be there many miles of love in there.
All right, that was Michael Now with In There, which is a song John discovered while here. I think that's kind of a common theme of these. I think we each discovered a lot of new music here. Yeah. A lot of long train rides, a lot of long bus rides,
yeah,
through the Tuscan Valley.
Lots of opportunities. Lots of opportunities to listen to new songs.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This next song is called St. Francis Loves All the Animals, and it's been on my mind because we've been in art history, for studying art history, Renaissance art history, mm-hmm. for the past few months that we've been here, and we're just recently discussing the Venetian Renaissance, and we talked about a painting called it's St. Francis in Ecstasy. And so as soon as we studied that painting, I was like, oh,
St. Francis is from right around here. He was from a town like what? Like a few minutes away.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like the Franciscans were a big deal. He's a big guy. He's a big man out there.
You were a big deal. Yeah.
Ever heard of St. Francis? He's kind of a big deal.
And this next song is about St. Francis in a way. The chorus is, at least. And it's a really good one. It's actually by an Athens artist that I know personally, which is also really exciting. So I hope you enjoy it.
You are not a bird. Of stature quite small, but like your mother strong. You could have had feathers on,
So that was Four Eyes, St. Francis Loves All the Animals. And that was the second to last song that we will be playing.
Yeah.
And this is is ending our trip. This is ending our study abroad. Something that we've probably all worked really hard to do. And it was a really good opportunity for me, I know. And I'm very, very lucky to have come here and to have seen all I've seen and learned all I've learned and done this radio show 3 times. This was honestly one of my favorite parts of the entire time.
I agree.
Entire trip. I've loved coming here to do this. And I've met some wonderful people, the Andreas. Well, thank you, Cortona.
I mean, this has been just one of the best experiences of my life. And, you know, I've been planning up for this for a long time. I think we all have, planning on coming on this trip and saving up to come here. And it's bittersweet to see it come to an end. I know there are certainly things I miss about home, people I miss, but I will forever be grateful to Cortona for this just incredible time and the people that I met here and the memories that I made here. So I'm going to miss it, that's for sure. I miss that view, the incredible view, and miss the chance to come on the radio, too. Because as soon as they offered us this opportunity to come on the radio with Radio On Country, we were like, oh my gosh, gotta do it. And now I'm sure y'all are tired of hearing my voice by now, but I guess this is goodbye.
Super fortunate to have come here. Really, really grateful. Thankful to like my professors here and to everyone I've met, including like students and just the people of Cortona who have been super welcoming, super great. Just made this experience incredible. So yeah, thanks for letting us talk your ear off also on the radio. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I came here hoping to change my life. And I changed my life. It's a great place. It's an amazing experience.
You changed your own life.
I did.
Wow, John.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, the best part about Italy for me was the quieter, subtler moments that we all experienced here in Cortona. I think that's why, ultimately, Cortona was our favorite place.
No, definitely.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just 100%. It's just beautiful and, like, gentle and quiet. And
everyone here is so gracious and kind.
Yes.
And
it's like, it's a great view of another, great. You know, I mean, it's a great view, too. But yeah, so I thought it'd be appropriate to end our little session here on a song by John Prine called Summer's End.
And this episode is streaming on www.radioincountry.org Friday nights at midnight in Italy and 6 p.m. in the USA Eastern Standard Time. So please tune in on the radio or online.
All right.
Ciao.
For the last time.
Woo-hoo.
I'm about to cry. Oh my god. Ciao.
Summer's ends around the bend, just flying. The swimming suits are on the line, just drying. I'll meet you there for our conversation. I hope I didn't ruin your whole vacation. Well, you never know how far from home you're feeling until you've watched the shadows cross the ceiling. Well, I don't know, but I can see it snowing. In your car, the windows are wide open. Just come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. just come on home. Valentine's break hearts and minds at random. That old Easter egg ain't got a leg to stand on. Well, I can see that you can't win for trying. And New Year's Eve is bound to leave you crying. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Just come on home. The moon and stars hang out in bars just talking. I still love that picture of us walking, just like that old house we thought was haunted. Summer's end came faster than we wanted. Come on home. Come on home. No, you don't have to be alone. Come on home. You don't have to be alone. Just come on home.